We're told in the book of Isaiah that Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter and he did not open his mouth. Can you picture that scene? Can you picture Jesus being asked to lie down on the cross? And he willingly does so. Can you imagine how dumbstruck the soldiers must have been? He's more than compliant. He works with them, not against them. He doesn't fight, nor argue his case, nor curse them. He's led like a lamb to the slaughter and he does not open his mouth. Just a couple of years earlier, Jesus said to the crowd that was milling around him, there were throngs of people milling around him, and Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." What a contrast to the ways of the world. Spoke a couple of weeks ago about many of the current reality TV programs that espouse bullying. And our evening news is littered with stories about road rage, domestic violence, break and enters, people demanding their rights, fighting one another, resulting in destruction and murder. Governments and ideologies around the world show little to no compassion. We become so possessive and protective of our little patch and pursue justice even at the expense of compassion. We show little mercy, we display little grace. Such a far cry from Jesus' advice. Do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other. And for Jesus, this was so much more than advice. He lived it. He lived it. He was despised and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He left justice in the hands of his Father. And his submission shocked the watching world. As the leading centurion declares, "Surely this was the Son of God." Such is the power of radical righteousness. So this is the first of the last two illustrations from Jesus where he says, "You have heard that it said, but I tell you. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth." From Leviticus 24, we read these words, "Anyone who injures their neighbour is to be injured in the same manner. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted the injury must suffer the same injury." That was written in the law in Leviticus. And this, along with all of the other laws, were given so as to protect people from the offender, but also act as a deterrent. And thirdly, foster care for your neighbour. The law was given with an intention of fostering within people a care for their neighbour. It was a reminder to do to others as you would have them do to you. If I'm going to harm my neighbour, then I can expect to be harmed in like manner. So I would love my neighbour. However, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth is by far our natural bent, our default position, just as it was for the Hebrew people. We want justice. We want revenge. We want for retaliation. We stand up for our rights and have determined that we'll not cop any rubbish from anyone. In fact, we've come to expect or anticipate trouble, and so we're ready to pounce. We're already on the defensive, and we will move to attack at a moment's notice. Rather than be that which drives us to love our neighbour, we use such laws to justify our acts of revenge. Jesus, however, says, I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Obviously, we would be more like Christ if we absorbed insults rather than retaliate. In fact, we would be more Christ-like if we went above and beyond what was demanded or expected. And here Jesus is not talking about a brother or sister. He says, do not resist an evil person. Rather, take the insults, the ridicule, the persecution, both verbal and physical abuse, and when they demand something from you, give them extra. And there are three benefits here. It's amazing how much better we feel about ourselves when we go the extra mile. And secondly, it's amazing how quickly most relationships are smoothed over when we do more than what is expected. And thirdly, what a testimony to the work of Christ in our life when we perform the extra mile service with a smile, instead of grumbling and complaining the whole time and stopping at the exact mile marker. If we can turn the cheek, go the extra mile, give beyond the asking, then we will reveal the same love that the Father has for us. That the Father has for you. In our self-centeredness, we demand so much from God. We demand so much from Him. And He blesses, and He blesses, and He blesses, without exemption and without limit. Our ability to be more like Christ then is only possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, but with the help of the Holy Spirit we can. And so we need the Holy Spirit's help, strength and enabling. Just want to invite you right now to bow your head, take some time just to pray and ask the Lord, help me, enable me through the power of the Holy Spirit to be living like Jesus, to love the wicked. So take a moment in prayer. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer. Amen. Timothy McKellar made this observation concerning the Sermon on the Mount. He said, Jesus conducts a major critique of religion or those who purport to be the religious ones. And so these are the people who are praying, who are giving to the poor, who seek to live according to the Bible, but they do so in order to get a claim and power for themselves. They believe that they will get leverage over others and even leverage over God because of their spiritual performance. And Jesus addresses this, Matthew 6, 7, still in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, they think they will be heard because of their many words. Timothy Keller goes on, this makes them judgmental and condemning, quick to give criticism and very unwilling to take it. However, God can only be reached through repentance, through the giving up of power. If we are saved by sheer grace, he says, we can only become grateful, willing servants of God and of everyone around us. If we're saved by sheer grace, we can only become grateful, willing servants of God and everyone around us. And so Jesus now dials it down a little bit more. He sharpens the focus. He's told us how to respond to the evil person. Now he addresses our attitude towards our enemies. And you might think that they're one and the same thing, but they're not. Some people do evil things to you because they're not necessarily, they know you, but just because they're evil in nature. An enemy, on the other hand, intentionally sets out to cause you trouble. Your enemy is opposed to you, and as an antagonist seeks to injure or overthrow you, they are hostile towards you and intentionally set out to harm or hurt you. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that they may be children of your Father in heaven. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing any more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be holy, therefore, as your heavenly Father is holy. As much as you might want to live at peace with everyone, not everyone is willing to live at peace with you. In the workplace, you have people who stab you in the back, who accuse you of things that you never did. At school, there are always other kids who tear you down. It's such a competitive environment with kids trying to assert their authority. Your enemy is out to tear you down so that they benefit from it. They're lifted up. Now Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That you might be representing him and just like him. Around the world there are clear enemies to Christianity, but it's not very often in our culture that we know that someone is out to get us, to tear us down, is opposed to us or is hostile towards us. It's not that often for us. If you were living in Niger at the moment and you saw a certain armed group of men heading your way, you would know that they are your enemy and you would flee for your life. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. In other words, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And these words echo Jesus' words earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Now, I'm not sure about you, but we might think, I don't have anyone that I'd like to destroy, so I don't have any enemies. But sometimes, within our paternal family, our blood family, we have what's called sibling rivalry. We want to hurt our brother or sister, and we call it sibling rivalry. Sometimes this can cross over into our spiritual family within the church. We can have enemies within. Those that we might struggle with, struggle to forgive, perhaps preferring to seek revenge or at least see that they receive justice. We can have enemies within the family of God, and we might find them much harder to love and do good for than for those who are unintentionally doing us wrong, the evil person. Still, we are called to love them and pray for them. Be holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy. Be set apart from the world. Be countercultural. Live differently with a radical righteousness. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Let God be God and look after the need for justice, and you be like God and love your enemy. And once again, Jesus sets the example. Jesus lived it. Knowing that Judas was about to betray him, Jesus reclines with him and shares the evening Passover meal. And Jesus had already washed his feet. And so we return to where we began this message. The cross of Christ. He was unjustly arrested. He was flogged. He was spat upon. With a crown of thorns pressed down into his skull, he was forced then to carry that cross through the streets, and then they nailed him to it. And Jesus had the power to stop it in an instant. He could have struck them blind, paralyzed their bodies. He could have caused them to stop breathing, their hearts to cease beating. He could have stopped it. He could have condemned them to hell with divine dignity. But he held his peace. Peter later declared, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And as he hung on that cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't return evil for evil, but he silently turned the other cheek. He loved his enemies. And while you and I were yet sinners, his enemies, he loved you. He loved you and I. What amazing grace. Amazing grace. It was our sin that put him there on the cross, but it was his love for us that held him there. He took the penalty for our sin, death, so that through faith in him we might have abundant and eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. If the Holy Spirit has been prompting you this morning and you've never made that decision, public declaration that, yes, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. His death paid the price for my sin. I encourage you to do that this morning. And you might like to do that by coming forward during the final song. And we'll